So today, our theme is Jesus brings freedom. And first thing I want to do is to ask the question, what is freedom? And I think it probably means different things to different people. To those in Ukraine fighting Russians, it probably means no longer in bond, taking back their land, which they seem to be making a really good job of at the moment. But the soldiers have been captured. We've seen some of them released this week. And their freedom means no longer being kept in one place with the possibility of torture and even death hanging over them. For a criminal in jail, it means being released from jail. And I think that freedom at its simplest means the ability to choose. The ability to choose where to go, and what to do, who to see, who not to see, who to love. But there is a caveat to this. We shouldn't view freedom as a carte blanche to do as we like. Because if I take a fancy to your car, am I free to take it? You probably wouldn't think so. If I take a fancy to your husband, am I free to take it? But we do generally understand we're only free to do as we want within the compromise of the law and within our moral code. Because freedom does involve consideration for others, not just doing what we like. But Jesus brings freedom. And there are many things that prevent us being free in this life. But Jesus purchased his freedom by his death, purchased our freedom by his death on the cross, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus gave himself to purchase our freedom. There's a passage in Luke which I call Jesus' manifesto. It's one of the first things he did as part of his ministry. He read from the scroll of Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come." And this morning, I want to look at a few aspects of the freedom that Christ brings. And firstly, freedom from sin. And I've got a few extracts from Psalm 103, and that highlights many ways in which God gives us freedom from sin. Verse 3, it says, "He forgives all my sin and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things." Then in verse 8, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." Please don't worry about the nice as far as I'm concerned. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us, as we deserve. He is unfailing love for all those who fear you. He is as great as the height of their heavens. Then it says, "He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." I'm not sure anyone's ever been able to measure that. How far is the east away from the west? They never meet. Not just forgiveness, but removal of our sins. And yet so often, we hang on to our sins. We remember with shame where we've gone wrong. And today, God wants to say to you that we have no need to live in shame and guilt. He has not just forgiven your sins, he has removed them as far as the east is from the west. Michael puts the same idea slightly differently. He says, "We will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean." community comes in with the sponsor, he has put up a sign that says, no fishing. We drag things up, but God never does. Once we've confessed our sin, we are forgiven, and he doesn't remember. It's as far as the east is from the west, the depths of the sea. And today, God wants you to know that, to be free from your past.
Amen.
Because we can be trapped by the past. We can be held captive through the habits that we've learned, or the shame that we feel. We're going to watch a short clip from Despicable Me 2, which illustrates how the past can hold us captive and prevent us being free to move on.
Hey, I told you guys to get to bed.
Oh, sorry. So when are you going on your date?
What?
Remember, Miss Tillian said she was arranging a date for you.
Yeah, well, she is a nut job and I'm not going on any date.
Why not? Are you scared?
Teach an old dog new tricks. That's what people will say. There's a story told where a town where all the residents were ducks. It's called Duck Town. Every Sunday, ducks quack and waddled out of their houses down the street to their church. They waddled into the sanctuary and took their places in their proper pews. The duck choir waddled in and took its place. Then the duck minister came forward and opened the duck Bible. He read to them, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly, with wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. With wings no walls can confine you, no fences can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings, and you can fly like birds." And all the ducks shouted, "Amen!" Flapped their wings, and then they all waddled home. Old habits die hard. When we repeat things so often, it's difficult to break out. Psalm 24, verse 7 says, "We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken, and we are free." You may know in your head that Jesus has set you free to live your life well, to grow and become the best that you can be, to fulfill your potential. But is there anything in your past that you are allowing to stop you doing that? Any memory of some past event, like Brew was thinking about that time in the playground? Is there anything like that that stops you? Are you waddling, or have you learned to fly? I'm going to break the sermon now for a little while. I'm going to talk in a moment about freedom to do things, but we're going to take an opportunity now to respond to what God might be saying to us. So if something is holding you back, there's an opportunity to respond and to do something to indicate to God that you want to be free, you want to walk in the freedom that Jesus has obtained for you. You might want to be set free from the memory of one particular sin that haunts you and you've never quite felt forgiven for, or from the shame of something you did or something that was done to you. You might want to be set free from a warped view of yourself, because Jesus says we are all children of God. There's a table in front of Tony's desk at the back, and on it there are some sheets of clear film and some special pens. And if there's something you want to be set free from, I invite you to go to that and in a moment, and right on the sheet of film, there's some clipboards there for you to use to write on. Whatever it is that you want to be free from. And there's a bowl of water there. And once you've written it, you can put the film in the water and you can see that washed away. In front of your eyes, it can wash away. So that's an opportunity for you. If you want to do that, please don't crowd anyone else, because some of it might be something they really don't want you to know about. So make sure that you're not looking over someone's shoulder. And while that happens, we're going to have a video of a song which is taken from Psalm 103. So if God's been speaking to you, if there's something you want to do, or something you want to make sure God has let go of, then take the opportunity to go and write on a sheet of film and see it washed away. And if you don't, just join in with the song and determine to walk in your freedom. So let's do this.
He has compassion.
free to walk in newness of life. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to move on now to a story from the New Testament which talks about freedom to do things. So Luke 13 is this story. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days in the week you're working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. So this poor woman bent over. And in Jesus' time, the Jews believed that God would often punish people physically for their sins. You get little hints of that in the Gospels. And this woman, bent double, would have been a despised person. The consensus would have been that she was being punished for something she had done wrong. So she was despised, unimportant, hiding at the back, hoping that no one would notice her and be rude to her. She was probably a pitiful sight, because she probably had no money and was a beggar. She may have been dressed in rags. She looks like in a picture, but we don't know what she was like. 18 years is a long time to be bent double. But she wanted to hear Jesus, and Jesus noticed her. Jesus spotted her despite her insignificance. He didn't ignore her. He called her forward. I don't know what she thought then. I don't know whether if I picked on anyone and said, "Come out front," what you would think. She didn't know what was going to happen. But Jesus set her free. He proclaimed, "Woman, you are set free. You are healed of your sickness." And she was set free not just from the past, but free to move into the future, free to live. She would now be free from shame, free to live her life. And it's the same for us. We are free from sin and shame and the things that hold us back. And Jesus has set us free to live. And we have freedom to love God. Jesus was once asked what the greatest command was, and this was his reply. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest command." Jesus sets us free to love God. And in order to love God, we need to know him. And Jesus made a way for us to do that. When he died, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The veil that separated the people from God's presence. God reached down from heaven and tore it in two. There is a way for us now to go into God's presence. Ephesians tells it like this: "In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Because of Jesus, we can approach God. So Jesus has set us free to fulfill that first and greatest commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And then Jesus went on to give the second great commandment. He said, it's equally important, the second, love your neighbour as yourself. And he said that on those two laws hung everything else, all the other laws. And Jesus sets us free to love our neighbour as ourselves. Galatians 5 says, you've been called to live in freedom. Not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up this one command, love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus made it very clear through the parable of the Good Samaritan that our neighbour is anyone we come into contact with. Not just the person who lives next door to us or our friends we meet at church, but anyone we come into contact with. We are to love and care for them as we love and care for ourselves. Which leads me to think of another freedom. Freedom to love ourselves. Do you love yourself? Or has your shame from the past prevented you from seeing yourself as God's gift? The Lord loves and accepts us, each one of us. We don't need to impress anyone. We don't need to impress God. He loves us and accepts us, just as we are. And Romans 15, verse 7 says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. God accepts us as his children. Jesus came to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that we could be adopted as God's children. We are no longer slaves to the law, but God's children. And when we recognise that Jesus died for us, we know then that we are a child of God and we can accept ourselves as God has accepted us. There's a whole load of stuff about social media, making it really difficult for people to accept themselves the way they are. People want to be thinner, more beautiful, richer, more famous. But God has created us in his image, each one of us. And he accepts us just the way that we are. Then we are also free to serve. There's been a lot said about the Queen and whether you're a monarchist or not, I think you must agree that the Queen said she would serve the country and she did just that. For 70 odd years, she served the country. She knew who she was. She was a queen. She was the ruler and she served us, knowing that. Think about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. In Israel, at the time that Jesus lived, everywhere was very dry and dusty. And when you arrived at someone's home, a servant would come and wash your feet for you. And John tells us how Jesus served his disciples by washing their feet. We don't know why they hadn't done it for each other. Perhaps they all felt too important. Perhaps they thought that they would be demeaned in others' eyes if they did it. But Jesus knew who he was. John says, Jesus knew the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel round his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Do you know who you are? Or does your past affect you? Are you able to love God and others? Are you able to walk in the freedom that Jesus brought? We don't have to do anything to achieve that freedom. We just have to accept it. We just have to say to those thoughts that come, no, that's not right. I am a son, a daughter of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are free to live. Let's pray. Father, you have called each one of us to be your child. You have given us a destiny. Your word tells us that you have plans for each of us, plans to prosper, plans for good. Help each one of us to walk in those plans and not to be trapped by the past that you have set us free from. Thank you for that freedom. Help us to walk this week in the freedom that you purchased for us at the cross. Amen. 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 hand that now to Teresa.